Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Let's start off with a brief update on the coronavirus pandemic and accompanying media-generated hysteria, which is starting to get old for a lot of people, I'm sure. As of the latest figures I consulted, the U.S. has a little over 5 million cases confirmed with about 165,000 deaths. Now, we know that there's a lot of controversy about those people having died and it being attributed to coronavirus. We know that Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House Coronavirus Task Force coordinator, stated that if someone dies for whatever the reasons and they happen to have COVID-19 or test positive for that, then the death is attributed to COVID-19, according to the government. Those are telling doctors. Also, we know the CDC, head of the Centers for Disease Control, the government medical hierarchy there, has stated also that there probably is an incentive for hospitals to get to attribute coronavirus deaths because they get more Medicare reimbursement for that. But all that being said, this whole thing about the lockdowns, we're going to have to learn to live with this thing. When they open up the events where people tend to congregate, clubs, bars, churches, ballparks, Disneyland, you're going to get some problems. When people come together at conventions and so forth, there's going to be spikes in this virus. It's supposedly three times as infectious as the flu. And so when they open up these things, they get spikes in the virus. But if they could let it run its course, we could get through this. We need to take whatever precautions we can, particularly for those most vulnerable. But it's going to be very difficult. If we can get these vaccines that are supposed to be on the horizon here by the end of the year, right around that time, that may help. But we don't know for sure how it's going to work out. But to shut everything down, this is what the left wants to do, and then blame Trump, ruin the economy. We can't afford to lock down the whole country again. That's my opinion anyway. But we'll see what comes of all this. Now, I would like to spend the bulk of the show here talking about the leftist-generated political, economic, and social chaos we're witnessing across the country, chaos that's nevertheless well-planned and financed and involving some very powerful, wealthy individuals and organizations. This is nothing less than an attempt to take over the United States and turn us into a third world socialist hellhole, in my opinion, but other people would disagree with that. Frightening as this idea may be, many people, dumbed down and controlled by the leftist dominated pop culture and censorship as they are, seem unaware of the dangers surrounding us today. Still, there are many people like myself and possibly you out there who are more aware of these dangers facing us and are reacting with a sense of unease and uncertainty with what the future holds. Part of that feeling of uneasiness among people comes from witnessing the ongoing nationwide demonstrations, unrest, and rioting that have been erupting onto the American scene in recent months. The mainstream media, which is the ideological and propaganda wing of the Democratic Party, and by proxy the Communist Party USA and other leftist groups seeking to overthrow our constitutional form of government, would have us believe these demonstrations are simply grassroots activism by Americans outraged at social injustice, as demonstrated by the death of Minneapolis resident George Floyd, a black man, at the hands of a white police officer, Derek Chauvin, on Memorial Day. In reality, Floyd's death was used as the excuse to foment the widespread civil and criminal unrest and violence we have been witnessing. In reality, these grassroots demonstrations and chaos are astroturf chaos. That is, fake grassroots, fake spontaneous uprisings by the population. They're well organized, funded, and planned by professional leftist agitators with the goal of forcing us to capitulate to the demands of the demonstrators and the political left in general, so they can radically transform the country into their vision of a socialist utopia. Some of the funding for these groups is known, others is not. U.S. Attorney General William Barr has announced that the Department of Justice is investigating to determine where the financing is from and who is responsible for it. For decades, it was argued by some people that communism is dead, quote unquote, and the people who supported and promoted it had moved on to other more reasonable ideologies like so-called liberalism and the like. It was a lie. The communists have always been out there waiting for their moment to arrive, and today many of them believe that moment has arrived. And they have reemerged both openly as communists and also as globalists, promoting the subservience of sovereign nations to globalism and world government. The irony is that many very wealthy individuals, corporations, and other organizations, such as nonprofits enjoying tax-exempt status, are participating in and funding this drive toward globalism, and they have many sympathizers. If you consider yourself a liberal today, you're one of these. The takeover of the Democratic Party by what former Marxist David Horowitz of the Freedom Center calls the communist left didn't happen overnight. It's been years in the making, although Democrats were not formally as open and blatant about it as they are today. The revolution Donald Trump and his supporters started in bringing America back from the abyss of socialism struck terror in the hearts of leftists. These people are increasingly desperate to destroy Trump and you, if you support him, quote, by any means necessary, unquote, as their communist street thug arm Antifa likes to say and carries on their banners. Remember that under socialism, the ends justify the means. So, as they say, by any means necessary. David Horowitz is one of the darlings of the left who turned against the left and has become one of the great writers and thinkers of our time, authoring many books and articles exposing the lies, hatreds, and dangers of the left and its goal of transforming America. Here's a brief audio clip from an interview with David Horowitz some 8 years ago by journalist Ashley Martella on Newsmax TV, in which Horowitz points out that the Democratic Party has been taken over by what he refers to as the neo-communist left. Play soundbite one, please.
You're a conservative activist and an outspoken opponent of Marxism. Has President Obama swung the country toward the left, in your opinion?
Oh, dramatically. We're in a battle for the survival of this country. And to me, when I look at it, I think the outcome is uncertain. The left, what I would call the neo-communist left, is really the Democratic Party. I mean, there are a few good people left in the among elected officials or party officials in the Democratic Party. But the vision of that party is socialist, anti-capitalist, anti-individualist, and it's got us on a course that will bankrupt, well, it's already bankrupting our country. Obama is a radical of my generation. He actually comes from the worst part of the 60s.
Horowitz, who has elsewhere referred to former President Barack Obama as a communist, points out Obama's longstanding friendship with radical leftist Bill Ayers, one of the founders of the communist Weather Underground terrorist organization. He also denigrated Bill Ayers, saying he thought he was a spoiled rich kid. As is typical of the irony surrounding many of these 1960s-era leftist revolutionaries, along with many other leftists then and since, Ayers has prospered and grown rich, net worth an estimated $1.5 million today in the American capitalist system, becoming a university professor and advocate of transforming our public education system to reflect leftist ideals. Here's a quote from Ayers from decades ago, quote, kill all the rich people, break up their cars and apartments, bring the revolution home, kill your parents, that's where it's really at, unquote. Now this deceiver is a millionaire today. The same can be said of his wife, Bernadine Dorn, one of the Weather Underground leaders, whose net worth today is estimated between $1 million and $5 million, according to an internet search I did. it's time we begin calling out these hypocrite frauds who, on the one hand, advocate communism or some other form of socialism which advocates redistribution of wealth, and on the other hand, get filthy rich under our capitalist system. I say we should start the give up your wealth movement, demanding that rich socialists rid themselves of their wealth, unless they renounce their support for socialism. If these phonies really believe in socialism, instead of demanding that you give up your wealth and abolish your property, while demanding the government have absolute power over our lives, they can make a difference by giving up almost everything they own and putting it in a pool so it can be redistributed to the poor, oppressed, and disadvantaged. Imagine the hundreds of billions, if not trillions, that could be amassed this way if all these rich people, corporations, and institutions like the Ford Foundation created such a cash pool. They could then appoint a Soviet, a committee of other socialists to distribute all this wealth. I still wouldn't agree with them, but I would have more respect for them if they truly put their money where their mouths are. Getting back to the ongoing civil unrest, here's some audio from a video titled "Protesters Wage War Against America," narrated by Infowars.com's Greg Reese on Infowars' website band.video. In this video, you will hear several Bernie Sanders presidential campaign volunteers talking about their support for using violence, even murder, against those who oppose them. Although Sanders won't be getting the Democratic Party's nomination for president, his Marxist agenda is now largely the agenda of the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden. Play sound by two, please.
No, we don't got to kill the Clintons. We'll make them kill themselves.
How's that?
Reign of terror.
We learned 6 months ago how staffers within the Bernie Sanders campaign have been planning a violent reign of terror, how they were planning an organized show of force and the destruction of property.
These people are motivated by fear. And if we mobilize and if we show, we make a show of force and we're very strong and we've put in work and we're very powerful now. I think you'll have a good many people who are going to back down off it, who are going to be so afraid that they're going to back down off that position. Just like a militant labor movement that's willing to, one, strike, and if necessary, destroy property and things like that.
How they were planning to burn cities.
So if Trump gets reelected, what?
Cities burn.
How they were organized with Antifa.
We don't want to scare people off, so you kind of got to feel it out first before you get into the crazy stuff. But
what kind of crazy stuff? Tell me.
You know, we were talking about, you know, more extreme organizations and stuff like Antifa. You know, you're talking about the yellow vests and all that, but you know, we're kind of keeping that in the back burner for right now.
And that they were willing to murder.
What are we going to do with those people that resist the change? Because that's a big deal.
Well, I'll tell you what. In Cuba, what do they do to reactionaries?
They shot them on the beach.
Do you want to fight against the revolution? You're going to die for it, motherfucker.
Their reign of terror has arrived in the Black Lives Matter movement. And their main target is every law-abiding citizen in America. After weeks of unprecedented mayhem, we can clearly see their tactics. They stop traffic unannounced on major freeways or thoroughfares, placing a burden upon thousands of random men and women across the nation just going about their business. If anyone protests, asks for passage, or expresses anything other than submissive silence, they are attacked by the mob, dragged out of their cars, and beaten. We have had several drivers shot at.
A 27-year-old defense attorney shot a driver in the head during a protest.
These are random men and women who happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And after being dragged from their cars, beaten, and shot at, they are accused of somehow attacking the protest. The media supports this lie. Mainstream outlets running outrageous headlines, suggesting that any random person who gets attacked by the mob had it coming, and that the angry mob is morally superior to all of us.
This is us just trying to create a world filled with love and kill off the hate.
In Austin, Texas, according to his recent statement, Daniel Perry was driving for a rideshare company, unaware of any protest, when he turned right onto Congress Avenue and encountered a group of protesters. Several people started beating on his vehicle, and an individual carrying a rifle, Garrett Foster, quickly approached the car and motioned with the rifle for Perry to lower his window. He complied, thinking that Foster was the police, but when Foster began to raise his rifle towards him, Perry shot and fired. Garrett Foster died that night of gunshot wounds. Daniel Perry is a free man because this was self-defense. Also in Austin, Texas, the city council wants to expedite the demolition of the APD headquarters. They want to blow up the police headquarters as soon as possible. And the mayor wants to take guns away from law-abiding Texans. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Here's more on what we are witnessing with the mass civil unrest, demonstrations, and riots across the country as these events are cheered on and supported by the mainstream media, Democrat politicians, and the left in general. This is Tucker Carlson on his show on Fox, July 30. Play soundbite 3, please.
After 2 months of rioting and political chaos, there are still people out there who claim this is all about the death of George Floyd. Believe it or not, there are. Some of the people who say that may actually believe it. We're giving them the benefit of the doubt. The liberal mom who lives next door to you, for example. She's probably entirely sincere when she lectures you about the scourge of police brutality. She means it. She has no idea BLM is about anything else. We're not judging, and that's not surprising. Most Americans are nice people. They're literal and ingenuous. They tend to take claims at face value because they want to believe the best. But in this case, they are wrong. None of what you are watching is about civil rights. Violence and race baiting are the enemies of civil rights. What you're watching instead is a power grab. It's being coordinated by the most ruthless and cynical figures in American politics. They don't want you to know what they're doing. They're not honorable enough to state their intentions. They're not like you at all. When normal people want something, they can be aggressive. But the professional left never is. It's invariably passive-aggressive. Their first instinct is to manipulate rather than persuade. They hide their real beliefs. They say precisely the opposite of what they mean every time. They accuse you of the crimes they themselves are committing. It makes your head spin. Arguing with them is pointless, by the way. They're nihilists. They don't believe in the existence of truth or in the fixed meaning of words. They care only about power. It's painful to say this. It hurts to admit there are people in our country who are like this, but there are, and they have more power than ever. If you need more evidence of that, Barack Obama showed up at Congressman John Lewis's funeral today. Obama claimed he was there to eulogize his own friend, but that's not true, and that's not what he did. Instead, Obama gave a divisive and deeply dishonest campaign speech in church. Here's part of what he said.
By ending some of the partisan gerrymandering, so that all voters have the power to choose their politicians, not the other way around. And if all this takes eliminating the filibuster, another Jim Crow relic, in order to secure the God-given rights of every American, then that's what we should do.
It's hard to believe that clip is real, but it is, down to the cloying fake accent, Mr. Hawaii guy. But take 3 steps back. Imagine if some greasy politician showed up at your loved one's funeral and started throwing around stupid partisan talking points about Senate procedure. Can you imagine that? You would be shocked if that happened. You'd probably walk out. Desecrating a funeral with campaign slogans? What kind of person would do that? But Democrats in the audience didn't seem offended. They didn't blink. They cheered. It all seemed normal to them. And why wouldn't it? Political power is their religion. It's not out of place in a church. It's what they worship. People who will politicize a funeral will do anything, and they're trying to. Democrats are working systematically to dismantle the core institutions of American life, beginning with the family and with faith. They're subverting the core system in our government, the justice system. They're nullifying laws, burning police stations, attacking courthouses, working to eliminate the legal equality of American citizens, the foundation of it all. They've systematically repurposed federal law enforcement agencies as political weapons. They have imprisoned their political opponents. Their leaders have called for making all of these changes permanent by packing the Supreme Court, packing the United States Senate, packing the electorate itself by importing tens of millions of new voters. Why are they doing all of this? They'll tell you it's to make the country better and more just, but the country isn't improving and it's not fairer. They're doing this for one reason, to ensure they have complete control of the United States. We're watching it happen right now, though almost no one ever admits it, and those who do come close to getting shut down. We can tell you stories. So how should the rest of us respond to what we're seeing? And let's be clear, by the rest of us, we're not just talking about conservatives or people who watch the show. We're talking about literally everybody else. Moderates, the politically non-aligned, traditional liberals who still care about civil liberties. There are some of those. Sincere religious people of all faiths. Immigrants from abroad who came to this country because of our Bill of Rights, only to watch it evaporate once they got here. In other words, everyone who fundamentally loves this country, which is still most Americans. What do people like that do in the face of this revolution? Well, it's simple. Defend the system that we have. That's our job. The American system is flawed. No one doubts that. But it works better than any other system in history. And tearing it down will not help. In fact, it will benefit only a few, the ones pushing for it, and it will crush millions. So if you care about the United States, fight for its institutions. They have served us well. This country has survived almost 250 years through a civil war.
Obama, by the way, has referred to the protests by the communist Antifa, short for anti-fascist groups, and the avowedly Marxist Black Lives Matter movement as a, quote, great awakening, unquote. This awakening promoted by the left has given rise to the term woke. If you are woke, it means you are embracing, supporting, following the narrative of the political left. In other words, if you are woke, you are a leftist. As we have noted, the founders of Black Lives Matter are openly Marxist, and they pursue a radical Marxist agenda. They also follow the agenda of the radical leftist billionaire George Soros, the former Hungarian immigrant born Georgi Swartz, who has given hundreds of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter, making their leaders wealthy and enabling the movement to wage these nationwide endless protests and civil unrest as they pursue their and Soros's agenda of overthrowing the American system of government. Soros, by the way, is a major funder of the Democratic Party and its leftist political candidates, including more than $10 million he gave to the failed presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. He has given millions to leftist Democrat district attorneys, political campaigns around the country, and many of those have succeeded. Among them are the district attorney in the St. Louis area, which has indicted the couple who defended their home against Black Lives Matter protesters trespassing on their property. Additionally, he's purchased large amounts of stock in mainstream media organizations like the New York Times and the Tribune Company, among others. You could say that Black Lives Matter is run by angry Marxist radicals who loyally serve a white master, Soros, and his agenda. In this case at least, the white master is paying his servants well. That agenda includes open borders madness, voting rights for non-citizens, and so on, so on. Soros himself has made billions from his hedge funds, and his financial activities have involved working to create political and economic chaos in numerous countries, then short-selling their currencies once those currencies fall in value due to the chaos. He was first funded with some $12 million, as I understand it, put up by the globalist Rothschild banking dynasty. Soros is viewed by many as a financial guru and gives his views on global economic conditions, addressing annual meetings of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The World Economic Forum is described as a gathering of presidents, prime ministers, business leaders, economists, and celebrities. They get together every year, the elites of society, to decide how they're going to run the thing, how they're going to control the world. As you can see, this financial guru, that is Soros, has a darker side. The public interest watchdog group Judicial Watch has been monitoring Soros and has had much to say about his activities. JudicialWatch.org, their website, states, and this was before the nationwide arrest of recent months, quote, Judicial Watch has reported extensively on Soros' global campaigns to further advance the left's radical agenda abroad and domestically, and published an investigative report on the financial and staffing nexus between his deeply politicized Open Society Foundations, OSF, and the U.S. government. OSF works to destabilize legitimate governments, erase national borders, target conservative politicians, finance civil unrest, subvert institutions of higher education, and orchestrate refugee crises for political gain. With the help of American taxpayer dollars, Soros bolsters a radical left-wing agenda that in the U.S. has included promoting an open border with Mexico, fighting immigration enforcement efforts, fomenting racial disharmony by funding anti-capitalist racialist organizations, financing the Black Lives Matter movement and other organizations involved in the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, weakening the integrity of our electoral systems, promoting taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, and advocating a government-run healthcare system, opposing U.S. counterterrorism efforts, promoting dubious transnational climate change agreements that threaten American sovereignty, and working to advance gun control and erode Second Amendment protections, unquote. In its introduction to its special report on Soros, Judicial Watch had this to say. Quote, the Soros network has engaged in an active and ongoing effort to affect politics, economics, and societies in Eastern Europe, parentheses, Albania, Macedonia, Romania, Hungary, close parentheses, Latin America, parentheses, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, close parentheses, and across the globe. Judicial Watch has successfully investigated and litigated to document the paper trail left by the OSF network as it operates at taxpayer expense to subvert and manipulate the sovereignty of constitutional republics and allies of the United States. Soros operations are highly sophisticated and multifaceted, working across academia, the courts, labor, and agriculture, social justice organizations, religious organizations, and, of course, political groups. OSF operations also utilize U.S.-based nonprofit organizations to further their agenda. Key personnel in the Soros OSF network and their affiliates are former U.S. government officials capable of leveraging their government status and access to benefit the OSF's progressive goals, quote unquote. Now, Judicial Watch continues to monitor and expose Soros and his organization's activities and also to stop U.S. taxpayer funding that in the past has been used to support these activities. One of the policies of Soros and the left in general is promotion of voting rights for non-citizens. I have no doubt that people like Soros and his allies in the Democratic Party, which he largely controls, including many people in our government institutions, are working to help rig the upcoming national elections in November in favor of Democrats and the political left. Commonly referred to as the deep state, these people embedded in our government are desperate to help the Democrats win and reverse the nationalistic political tide headed by President Trump. One way they hope to do this is by mail-in ballots. A number of states have already taken steps to mail some 43 million ballots to anyone they believe should be voting in the upcoming elections. Despite the long-standing criticism of this practice as being vulnerable to widespread fraud, with the hysteria and fear they have stirred up over the coronavirus pandemic, the left is widely promoting mail-in balloting as the only sensible and safe way for people to vote. Now, again, you will hear in the media that, the U.S. is terrible. We're leading the world in the coronavirus cases. Well, we're doing more testing than anybody else in the world. The Chinese, the red Chinese, as I understand it, just stopped testing. And then they said, oh, we don't have any more coronavirus cases. We're not getting an accurate count out there of how many people have actually got this virus, but the U.S. has been doing a lot of that. And, of course, when that happens, you're going to get more cases. And, of course, we have the disputes as to how some of these people have actually died, whether it's solely due to coronavirus or to other factors. I think a lot of it probably is. And even Deborah Birx had stated that, according to the Washington Post and unnamed sources they provided, stated she thought that because of the archaic system of recording these deaths, by the CDC that perhaps they were being overstated by as much as 25%. Anyway, people can wring their hands over the amount of people dying from this, but we don't know for sure a lot of things here. But one thing they have done is scare the bejesus out of a lot of people, and they don't want to go out. Of course, you could legally and properly vote by mail via absentee ballot. All you have to do is register to vote in advance and request an absentee ballot from your local registrar of voters or whatever they're referred to. That's not what we're talking about here. It's unsolicited mass mailed ballots, which are the danger. Here are some thoughts on this by radio host Alex Jones on his radio show July 30 and featured on his website, Infowars.com, under the heading Deep State Plot to Rig Elections. Play soundbite 4, please.
There is no doubt multinational corporations, above the law robber barons, crony capitalist, post-humanist globalist, are launching a communist overthrow of the United States. They're going to launch it whether Trump gets reelected or not, whether Trump postpones the election because of election fraud or not. It's happening. They're not going to stop now. They are actually activating people ages 12 up into adulthood with hammers, with guns, with weapons, with Molotov cocktails. They're going to burn down the police stations. They're going to attack the military bases in an agitprop. And if the military responds, they're going to be called terrorists. And you're going to have Congress come out and condemn our military and our police and say it's wrong. And if they don't respond, they'll just take over.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Now things are very, very clear 95 days out from the election. Like we're staring down into the purest pool of mountain spring water. You can see right to the bottom 100 feet down. And what we see swimming around down there are globalist eels. The news I'm about to announce is the biggest news we've ever announced here on air in this crescendo of incredible developments. And information came out last night and this morning, and all the pieces clicked together. But I will tell you this. I am now going to carry firearms at all times, and I normally have the shotguns and things like that in instant access pistol shape by my bed. I'm going to have them even handier now because the threat level in this country to what is known as the leadership of what's left of the American resistance to the globalist takeover is extremely serious. Now, that said, here is the giant piece of the puzzle that just went in and completed it. President Trump tweeted that with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, the media tries to confuse that, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, safely vote. I totally agree with the president. This is the absolute right move to make. Now, they're going to say he's authoritarian. He's not leaving office. They've had his phones tapped. That's why they're suddenly talking points. He's not going to leave. He's not going to accept the results of the election because he's being advised by smart people that you cannot allow in over 25 states and over 800 leftist-controlled cities. I mean, all the cities are leftist-controlled, all of them. There's one that's quasi-Republican out of 800. I mean, we're gone. They've seized control. The UN's in there running, and that's all in the news today. I mean, we're in the New World Order. We've just got a few pockets of resistance in the government left because the American people just don't know how much trouble they're in. But if they're going to have massive election fraud and dead cats are getting their mail-in ballots and their voter registration cards, dead cats, then you have to understand that that is how they're going to engage in an absolute fraudulent election. And the Democrats have said they will. And Pelosi said one way or the other, he's going to be fumigated out of there. He will be gone. They're now saying they'll use the military on him. So if Trump doesn't let them engage in fraud and criminal activity, and he upfront fights them, then they are going to say they're going to remove him from office, and that's why they have all the race warring going on. That's the smokescreen for the overthrow of government and mass murder and a communist uprising, which they are now activating.
Of course, Alex Jones is the archetypal conspiracy theorist. He's known for this and is vehemently hated and condemned by leftist pundits over this. He has some pretty outrageous things to say. He also, at least his business operation, has a monetary incentive in promoting such apocalyptic views, since he sells storage foods and other disaster preparedness supplies to fund his operations. You need to keep this in mind when you're listening to him. I find that he does make rather strong and, to some observers, hysterical statements at times as he attacks the globalist world government crowd, the deep state and the political left in general. But there's a lot of truth in what he says at times, and I certainly enjoy listening to him. He's also very entertaining, but it's kind of frightening to some people to hear some of the statements he makes. He does come up with some information and allegations that you don't find elsewhere. I recently heard him say that Oprah Winfrey was part of a pedophile network in Africa or something. Of course, you know, he's been sued a number of times. Hopefully in that case he knows he's got some information that would verify that. I think there's a lot of truth, though, in what he's saying here. Jones said Trump called for delaying the elections over Trump concern about mail-in vote fraud. Well, that was a question. It was a rhetorical question. He ended it with question marks. I believe it was on Twitter, and he later talked more about it. But actually, Trump just raised the question that perhaps the election should be delayed as a way of getting the issue out in the open for discussion, as I said. Let's hear more about this from radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh on his July 31 show. Play soundbite 5, please.
That one tweet has caused all this. Today in Washington, summit number 28, Trump spoke with reporters about the 2020 presidential election.
If you do universal mail-ins with millions and millions of ballots, you're never going to know what the real result of an election is. It's going to be a very, very sad day for our country. You know, they voted during World War I. They voted during World War II. They went to the polls. They voted. They went to their booth, and they voted proudly. But now with COVID, they don't want to vote. It's not they don't want to vote. This will be catastrophic for our nation. And you'll see it. I'm always right about things like this. I guess I must be. But I wouldn't be sitting here.
I'm always right about things like this. Trump is convinced that mail-in voting is nothing more than a recipe for disaster. And it's another one of these fake things that have been drummed up. Can't go out in public. Can't do this. Can't do that because of COVID-19. Except you can go protest. You can still do that. Stephen Miller, charge of immigration policy in the White House, was on Fox and Friends today, and he explained Trump's tweet. The question here he got from Pete Hegseth, who said, would you explain what the White House is wanting to defend the integrity of the election?
The president yesterday brought the whole nation's attention to the catastrophic problem of universal mail-in ballots. Nobody who mails in a ballot has their identity confirmed. Nobody checks to see if they're even a U.S. citizen. Think about that. Any foreign national, talk about foreign election interference, can mail in a ballot and nobody even verifies if they're a citizen of the United States of America. Now, this would be happening on a scale of potentially millions of people. In fact, in the Democrats' Heroes Act, the bill that was supposed to be for coronavirus relief, they actually have a provision in there barring voter identification as part of any mail-in balloting. That is insane.
It is. There you go.
Here's more on the issue by Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton on his July 31 weekly update address on the Judicial Watch website. Play soundbite 6, please.
First up, though, and I'll bring in maybe the coronavirus discussion here as well, is the debate about our election systems and whether, as President Trump has suggested, vote by mail will undermine clean elections. He raised the question because he's been following the left's arguments pretty closely and more honestly, frankly, than his left-wing media critics. He raised the question, should the elections be delayed until we can vote safely and securely? Now, he just raised the question. Now, he is actually, in my view, holding the left accountable for its own rhetoric, which I've highlighted to you is been reckless and irresponsible by suggesting you'll die if you vote in person. If that's the case, then why have elections if that's the crisis? That's the question the president's asking. Do I think we need to delay the elections? No. I do think we need to encourage people to vote in person, because relying on the mails to vote is not the best way to ensure, most specifically, that your vote will be counted. Voter fraud, obviously, the risk is increased dramatically when you have tens of millions of ballots being mailed to voters across the land. As we pointed out, and as I pointed out on behalf of Judicial Watch in sworn testimony to Congress, the Baker-Carter Commission, which was a commission named after James Baker, the famous Republican aide to Ronald Reagan, a former Secretary of Treasury, and Jimmy Carter, the former president, acknowledged that vote by mail increases the likelihood of fraud. It's harder to contain and check fraud with vote by mail. But obviously, it stands to reason if you don't vote in a polling place under the watchful eyes of government and political officials, because the parties get to monitor the polls as well, or representatives of the candidates in most circumstances, the opportunities for fraud dramatically increase. And as importantly, even if fraud is not an issue, the ability to mess with your vote increases. So to get your ballot from point A to point B, or even point B to point C, obviously raises a different additional hurdles to having your vote counted. And we've had instances in New York. We have New York. They still haven't figured out a month after primaries who won, because they were overwhelmed with vote by mail and mail-in ballots. And the ballots that have been sent in, many have been thrown out because of many rules weren't kept. Either they weren't signed, or they weren't postmarked properly, or whatever. Now, do you want that to happen to your vote? Of course you don't. If you can go shop, if you can go protest, you can go vote. So rather than delaying elections, we have to stop the rhetoric that you can only vote by mail. It's the safest way to vote. I mean, obviously, if you never leave your house, well, I don't know if you never leave your house, you're actually better off than going out and voting, because this is all just junk voodoo science. But vote on election day. What's so hard about that? And don't let the left scare you from voting on election day. But right now, we've set up a system, thanks to the left, which I think benefits from, wants to be able to benefit from the voter fraud that will result, and from upending our election systems. Because remember, this isn't about just 2020. It's about every future election after 2020. The goal of the left is to increase opportunities for fraud. How do I know that? Because all of their proposals increase the opportunity for fraud. They want vote by mail, which increases the opportunity for fraud. They oppose voter ID. They oppose cleaning up election rolls like Judicial Watch is trying to do. And now we're engaged, thanks to leftist scaremongering, in an unprecedented experiment that we're going to find out whether it works or not on election day. And what is the experiment? We are mailing 43 million ballots, at least, in the mails. That means that ballots are going to go out to whoever, presumably registered citizens, but of course, no one really is able to check that well. Oh, you may think that citizens can only register to vote. Well, that's the law, but no one checks to make sure that when someone signs the registration form and they say they are a citizen, no one checks that. There's no registered citizenship verification. 43 million ballots are going to be mailed across the nation. What can go wrong, right? What can go wrong when you send 43 million ballots? In California, the president talks about election day. We may not know who won on election day. In California, where Judicial Watch successfully sued to stop a plan that Gavin Newsom had to mail ballots to people who may have moved away and died. We got that cut out, but they're still going to be mailing millions of ballots. They plan to, and they will, under law, keep on counting votes until at least 17 days after the election. Their thinking is if you get the ballot in on election day, you can mail the ballot on election day. They're obligated to count it as far as 17 days out. So we may not know who won the election on Election Day. And it's not just the president, the presidential contest. There are Senate contests, there are House contests, and all up and down the ballot, as you know. And those contests are going to probably even be more significantly impacted. This is why I've been warning about it. I testified about it. Judicial Watch has been highlighting this. We've highlighted the fact that many voting rolls are filthy. In California, they're removing up to 1.6 million inactive names thanks to a Judicial Watch settlement agreement. Now we're told those names won't get lists, won't get ballots. But the point is, when you've got admittedly dirty names on the list, it suggests there are other problems. Other states, we're not assured ineligible voters won't get the names, the rolls, ballots or ballot applications.
When he's referring to dirty ballots, dirty names, Fitton is talking about ballots sent or submitted by ineligible voters, such as dead people. I don't know how many dead cats got such ballots in the mail, as Alex Jones claimed, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some. The point is, the left is desperate to win the elections this year and willing to do anything to win, including engaging in massive vote fraud, which they are doing everything they can to make possible. Part of this is the ongoing hysteria and fear over the coronavirus pandemic promoted by the left in order to keep people locked down, afraid to go out, and afraid to go out and vote. If you are afraid to go out, all you have to do is contact your local registrar of voters and request an absentee ballot, provided you have registered. And you can register also very easily. Just make sure you do it in time to cast your ballot. So do it now. That's a wrap for another show. Hope you found it of interest. We'll be back 2 weeks from today in this same time slot. Have a good evening.